We could not reach it, however, because of an energy barrier which was in front of us, not too far away. But we got the solution quickly by activating the commands on the console. The images showed us how to set the access parameters. The team of scientists then quickly understood that they were looking at a space-time distortion which was a section artificially generated. Of course, we all asked ourselves why this was necessary. Only after a while did we realize that those who built this complex inside the mountain were using a technique to travel through tunnels. It is still a mystery to us. Behind the distortion there is a geometric system of very pure quartz crystals that are embedded in the isolation of the tunnel. Come, I'll show you. After he said so, Caesar started through the tunnel before me. I took a deep breath and also went inside. I looked carefully at the highly arched walls which were perfectly finished. I think the tunnel was about 7 meters wide and about 10 meters high. The material that covered the walls looked like the one from the Grand Gallery, but I noticed that it was shinier and it had a phosphorescent green color. If I looked at the material directly, I almost did not notice its details. It had a special shine and made the glance a sleeper somehow. I hesitated but followed Caesar closely. The tunnel was straight for about 7 or 8 meters before taking a tight curve to the left. I then saw that it remained straight with no further deviations. The feeling I had was very troubling. The huge tunnel changed its color after about 8 or 9 meters from the curve and it became a phosphorescent violet. Then, farther in front, maybe a few hundred meters away, it took a slow curve downwards, going down underground until the curve range became too big and I could not follow the path anymore. It all created such a sensation of unearthly mystery that nobody felt like talking anymore. The last of our baggage had been brought and arranged by a few soldiers in 3 vehicles that had a special shape which immediately drew my attention, but in that moment, Caesar started explaining as he showed me the sides of the tunnel. The space distortion intervenes in this place. He said and showed me an imaginary line where I could see some rhombic geometric shapes that looked like ditches dug into the special material. Those ditches contained special slots where several large crystals were embedded that were very pure of different colors. I noticed that their arrangement on the sides of the tunnel and the geometric shape as they were embedded in were in a perfect symmetry. I think this arrangement was about 5 meters long and it was placed right at the transition area where the tunnel changed colors from pale green to phosphorescent violet. I went closer to the crystals and looked at them carefully. They were equal in size and were about 0.5 meter high and only about 10 centimeters wide. At the top, they had a tetrahedral shape and they were so pure that I could almost see through the ones which had a pale yellow color. I counted 12 crystals on each side and noticed that above them, at the half of each side wall of the tunnel, there was a ditch which was about 5 or 6 centimeters wide which was as long as the model formed by the crystals. The tunnel curved to the left. The projection chamber, next headline, the structure of the entrance to the tunnel to Egypt. There was definitely something here, maybe another device. But we have no proof of this and no information about it. Caesar continued his explanation. It's obvious that it's a critical area and it was probably used for propulsion through the tunnel by those beings who built the complex. Aiden, who had come near to us in the meantime, spoke. The configuration of the crystals suggests to me a special kind of atomic connection. I believe they used another kind of method of transportation than the classical one we are about to engage. Caesar agreed. It's true. This is also the indirect result of the holographic projections we saw, but no image shows it clearly. I also can't understand why they choose to hide everything so much. Anyway, the space distortion was very important in this process. But they created the physical tunnel for us. Yes, it's a colossal technology, Aiden argued while carefully studying the crystals. I'm almost sure that they used some kind of beaming or at least parallel traveling. They might have thought this would be too difficult to explain through holographic projections, or maybe our psychophysiological structure is simply not yet adapted and fit for such methods of traveling. And this is why they left us the physical projection of the tunnel, AI concluded. Aiden was a bit skeptical. Ayo, if it were so, then what is the purpose of the space distortion? It's rtms obvious that they have an extraordinary source of energy that is maybe here, underground. I think that when the distortion stabilizes, the physical dimension of the tunnel appears somehow altered. ATM, we continue through the tunnel, but yet we are, in a way, airside matter. ATM, normally, at the other end of the tunnel, there should be a converter ATM like this one, he added in a lower voice. ATMS true, ATM Caesar confirmed, smiling. Ayo, the team of scientists has already confirmed how strange the violet tunnel is, meaning that it is a physical form, yet it does not TMT really pass through the ground. It is rather a virtual ATM replica which is perfectly fit to travel through. We don't TMT understand how this is possible even if we use the tunnel. There are still many enigmas that we can't TMT solve. For example, this situation only applies for this tunnel which leads to the Giza Plateau near Cairo. The other two tunnels are actually dug into the ground all the way to their destinations. The crystal area from the tunnel to Egypt view from above. A Romanian officer then came to us and told Caesar that everything had been loaded into the vehicles. Caesar told us to get ready for departure while he would go back to the projection chamber to give the final orders. Curious, I went near the three vehicles. They were larger than the electric ones we had traveled through the Grand Gallery in, and they had another shape which was very aerodynamic. In comparison with the first ones, the latter were covered and baggage was placed at the back. They also functioned based on electric engines, but they had high-performance engines. Aiden, who knew the technology based on which they were built, assured us of that. The three vehicles were parked in a row before the crystal area and they looked like race cars. The front was sharp and very low while the backside was lifted to carry baggage. I got the explanation that the shape of the vehicle was designed by the Americans immediately after the discovery of the underground complex in the Bsky Mountains for the purpose of a perfect adjustment to travel conditions through the tunnel. The electric vehicle was at the time a secret premiere of American military technology and was used for another purpose, but with certain adjustments made to it, it was considered to be the best means for silent and quick transportation through the underground tunnels starting from the underground location in the Bsky Mountains. The body was made of carbon fiber, and on the front side, there was a wide slip with a box behind it which was integrated into the body. Ewit? The laser guidance system, a Lieutenant Truo explained because he guessed my amazement. Because the surface is very smooth and without protuberances, movement can be automatic to a high extent, allowing you to rest. The car is equipped with an autopilot and a very powerful onboard computer which makes calculations based upon the input it receives. On the upper side at the middle, two light projectors were installed. Even though the tunnel had its own light and the vehicle mainly ran on autopilot, I was told that the experience of the expedition two years ago imposed the necessity to install those white light projectors. In the meantime, Caesar had returned to us and understanding the subject of the discussion, he gave me some explanations. This is a very special tunnel. The violet light creates, in time, a state of mental doubling, something similar to the passing from awareness to sleep. The psychic relaxation is too high and a near TMS attention tends to be especially receptive to essential aspects of existence. I think you understand that we can't TMT afford the team to lose vigilance. I must admit there were some minor accidents, but it was clear that we had to change something. A next headline, the crystals area from the tunnel to Egypt. Cross-sectional view, after he said that, Caesar signaled our departure. The distribution of our team in the vehicles was the same. Caesar and I were in front, then Truo and Aiden, and finally Lieutenant Nakoara. We parted with the people in the projection chamber and the signal for our departure was sent to the mountain entrance of the gallery. Nervously, I got into the vehicle with Caesar. Inside, it looked almost like a modern aeroplane. There were many buttons, a few small displays and a central platform with a big screen which was complex through the structure of the data and charts it showed. There was no steering wheel. It was replaced by a control column, the same as that of airplanes, but this one had some command buttons on it. The atmosphere inside was very pleasant. The displays had an orange reddish color, and in some places, the messages were yellow. Actually, the inside looked more like a cockpit because the access to the vehicle was done by a lateral rising of the modular casing. I sat comfortably in the ergonomic chair and was surprised by the generous space I had inside. From the outside, it looked much smaller. Looking ahead through the airtight window, I could see the mysterious tunnel opening and felt a cold chill. It was a unique moment in my life, which would be the starting point of amazing events. I took a deep breath and nodded my head. Almost suddenly, the light inside became violet and the space in front got dark. Chapter 3, USAP. I felt a shiver down my spine and a relative fear. After all, it was natural for me to react this way because I was leaving for an unknown target which I expected to be full of surprises. After all, Caesar had already experienced such an expedition which I was told developed under difficult conditions. 2 years had passed since then and nobody knew what might have come up in the meantime. This long break was necessary in order to implement some important technological changes in the travel logistics, measurement equipment and controls. All of these changes were conceived according to the specific results of the first expedition. Caesar did not describe that expedition in detail, nor did he tell me what I was about to see at the other end of the tunnel, and this was not comforting at all for me. I soon realized, however, that in such expeditions the element which cannot TMT be foreseen is a very important one, and, from the point of view of probability, we could expect extraordinary events and discoveries. Before our departure from the secret Alpha base, I had signed a confidentiality agreement and an agreement whereby I undertook all risks. I am not so sure if I would have signed them if I had not known Caesar. 1 year ago, after returning from his expeditions through the three tunnels, he told me the main aspects concerning the discoveries they made, but he could not tell me some things because they were highly classified. Even then, when I had been granted access through the protocol on highly classified secrets which I had signed, Caesar explained to me that he could not give certain details about the expeditions through the other two tunnels because I was not an officer in the department and those were top military secrets. Moreover, an appendix to the contract I signed specified that my access was restricted to a certain category of secrets and only for the current mission. Caesar told me, however, it was very probable that I would also be part of the following expeditions because there were interests from high above in this respect. Next headline, exceptional technology. During those moments, I was more preoccupied with what I had felt and seen so far on this journey. Through a kind of strange reflection, the atmosphere in the spacious cabin we were in seemed a filter with a violet color. It most surely was an effect generated by the light of the tunnel, which had a calming and relaxing effect on the human mind. If you feel that this light bothers you, we can compensate it with the opacity limitators with which the vehicle is equipped, said Caesar. He had set the course on autopilot and was relaxing, lying back in the comfortable chair. I looked to the side in order to better appreciate our speed and realized we were driving quite fast. I looked at the indicator on the computer, which showed both miles and kilometers per hour, and saw that the speed was set to 125 kilometers per hour. I thought we were driving so fast that I felt a slight panic, but Caesar immediately reassured me. After our return from the expedition 2 years ago, there were a few months of intense feedback to and from the research and design labs working for the Pentagon. We gave them the data we recorded and told them what had TMT gone well or had gone wrong, and they came up with several solutions. We arrived at our final option quickly, and this adjusted the faults and unpleasant effects we were confronted with during the first expedition. Among other things, this vehicle was redesigned and greatly improved from a technological point of view. They studied several options of movement under the conditions we described and reached the conclusion that, for the size of this tunnel, the optimum cruising speed is 125 km per hour. The car can reach a speed of more than 200 km per hour. the TARDIS designed so that the cruising speed should remain constant, and this also applies if you are on the smooth ascending or descending slopes in the tunnel. Practically speaking, the vehicle is fully automatic. I had to admit that this was a technical jewel for which knowledge and materials used in the space industry had been thoroughly applied. I did not TMT know much about these aspects, but I could surely say that regular people will not see such vehicles on the streets too soon. Caesar explained to me that nothing had been neglected, and this included the following: the aerodynamic flow of air on the body, redundant laser guidance systems, control systems for the outer atmospheric parameters, cabin pressurization with oxygen reserves, and even a sophisticated system that could artificially support life for a certain period of time in case of serious accidents. On this occasion, I found out that the safety systems in case of a crash were also very well designed. What was new was that, apart from the airbags inside, the sides of the car featured a set of ultra-resistant airbags that open automatically when the imminent impact sensors are activated. When I found out all this, I felt more confident and began to think that I might spend this period with Caesar in a relaxed frame of mind. I even thought I could use the time we would spend together in the electric vehicle for constructive purposes, and this meant finding out answers to some questions and problems that were not very clear for me. Caesar immediately agreed. The trip will last almost 2 days, and that includes the sleeping and eating breaks, he said. We have plenty of time. I was very happy, and a very good mood flooded my heart and body. I was just getting ready to start the first topic of our discussion when the computer announced to us that we were about to reach a stationary point in 5 minutes. I looked at Caesar inquiringly. There were more participants on the first expedition, and the means of transportation were not so evolved, he started explaining. Furthermore, the autonomy of the vehicles lasted a maximum 400 kilometers. Of course, they were special and very well equipped military vehicles, but they were charged with special rechargeable batteries. This is why we had to select a certain part of them which would only carry spare batteries. We set up some intermediary stations along the way where, upon our return, we left the spare batteries as well as food supplies. When we left the projection chamber, we made up a caravan of 17 vehicles, out of which 8 served only this purpose. They were behind us and made up the recharge stations and returned one by one to the projection chamber afterwards. In the end, only the main 9 vehicles of the expedition remained. I said with amazement, are the stations charged now? Are there enough batteries there? We no longer need them. This new type of vehicle is fueled with an atomic battery. Can you believe it? Caesar was smiling and waiting for my reaction. I was truly surprised. If the Americans had hidden such technology, what other surprises was I to expect? In the meantime, I was thinking how misinformed and kept in the dark the rest of the population was, being led to believe that oil is still the main fuel solution. Caesar's voice then interrupted my thoughts. And the process they use is that of cold atomic fusion. I was struck with amazement. I felt as if I was visiting another planet. He continued. TARDIS sad to find out that the world is willingly kept in the dark. Many of those who are aware of TARDIS aggressive manipulation consider it a curse upon the planet, but they are mistaken. By thinking this way, they not only seriously limit themselves, but they can even cause the chain reaction of a negative idea which would only make us lose TARDIS like an ending or surrender. The destiny of this planet, however, is a different one, and the transformations that will soon occur will clarify many things. Caesar stopped explaining in order to switch to manual command. He explained to me that this was necessary for better safety in case of sudden maneuvers that might occur whenever we reached a stationary pointer for recharging. The boxes with food and other strictly necessary things had been deposited on both sides of the tunnel, thus narrowing the access path a little. Even if the cruising speed was reduced at those points, extra caution was still necessary. I noticed that the boxes were symmetrically placed on both sides of the tunnel and that they were carefully arranged. Near them, I noticed two signaling buoys which signaled at intervals in an orange color. I then remembered the space distortion and the fact that we were apparently traveling on a virtual path. I could not TMT explain how it was possible for it to be recreated with the changes brought to it, namely the stationary points and the signaling buoys. As usual, Caesar immediately understood my thoughts. A stationary point along the tunnel. View from above, this is not the main issue. Naturally, if this physical tunnel we are passing through appears now and then disappears, it means that it has an inner area memoria and therefore AOE remembers all the changes brought to it. I've already told you that we don't TMT yet know which processes take place that make this strange manifestation of the tunnel possible, but researchers assume that it is connected in a particular way to the special material which covers it. A kind of subtle interaction surely takes place, but we don't TMT understand it. It is an enigmatic phenomenon which is triggered by means of a very advanced technology. There are many things that we do not know here. A next headline, Mankind TMS Destiny. We passed the first stationary point and now the tunnel stretched again, completely free before us and radiating that mysterious indigo light. Caesar had turned on the automatic pilot again and it was back at cruising speed. After he performed an audio and video check against the two vehicles behind us, which were 1 kilometer away from each other, Caesar once again laid back into a comfortable position in the ergonomic chair. I took advantage of this opportunity to clarify the subject we had already begun discussing. A.O. Were you talking about the catastrophic events mentioned in the apocalypse? A.I. deliberately directed the discussion towards those aspects that had been bothering me for a while. After returning from the first expedition, 1 year earlier, Caesar told me some things about the future of mankind which I found utterly stunning. I still felt there was more to this, but he avoided telling me. Moreover, I was asked not to write or talk about what I had been told. I was therefore interested to find out more on this subject at the present time. At a worldwide level, said Caesar, it is possible that some catastrophes, even cataclysms, will take place which will generate a necessary transformation in mankind TMS perception and mentality. We can expect such realities and I believe you can guess that they are not going to favor those who are evil and perverted, especially since time itself seems to be contracting. A.A.O. Of course, Iatmv understood this and Iatmv even read some observations on this subject, A.T.M. I responded. I understand that the phenomenon is tightly connected to the subjective nature of time. Apparently, I now have less time to perform the same activities under the same conditions as compared to a couple of years ago. But I could not TMT really explain why. Caesar nodded his head in approval. There are several causes which contribute to this very important phenomenon which should not TMT been neglected. Amongst others, time acceleration is also related to this special period of the 2000s which has been considered to be an apocalyptic moment related to the end of an age by hundreds of million people for tens and even hundreds of years. But from a spiritual point of view, an apocalyptic manifestation should be regarded as a moment of profound transformation of human nature, such as a passage from evil to good, so that the planet becomes mainly beneficially oriented. Because now, as you can easily see for yourself, the major tendency is towards regression, amplification of evil and perversity. And if this situation has been perpetuated until now, the time of a drawing the linear TM will also come, and the huge negative accumulation in karma can lead to compensations a TM measuring up to the people who led to these accumulations. From this point of view, I can tell you that this can be confusing and even scary for many people. However, as you well know, this would only be a reinstatement of the initial balance, a purification which is absolutely necessary in the economy of the area of the universe that we are located in. I felt a chill. Nobody likes to know the Atma not safe, as well as the fact that we all want to live as long as possible and enjoy a wonderful life. At times like these, however, everything seems to become unstable, uncertain, and go through a transition, much of which results in failure. I already knew from Caesar that the best attitude to take in such situations is to be exactly the opposite of the black thoughts and feelings I felt. In other words, to be optimistic, active, think positive and act with energy. Now that he was with me, I felt that I could find enough resources to accomplish all this. But what will I do afterwards? I then reprimanded myself, realizing that I had once again taken the wrong attitude by being pessimistic. I was feeling more and more a clear need to find refuge in my thoughts to God, in trusting Him and abandoning myself to Him completely. Even if I did not yet fully grasp this apparently unsearchable secret of creation, I was starting to understand with my inner intuition, according to Caesar TMS explanations, that there is something beyond everything that exists, something I could completely rely on and that seemed to be the solution to all problems and doubts. It was just a distant breeze, but I felt such joy thinking about it. It was the only certainty which I knew would never be shattered. With these invigorating thoughts in mind, he asked Caesar when he thought all this would start happening and if these events would be related to the return of Jesus. His answer made me smile because it was a sort of confirmation of my own thoughts. This is a problem that troubles most of the people. Of course, only God the Father knows about this moment in accordance with the sacred texts, more precisely the Bible. Based upon this, we can state that when God believes it is the right time, Jesus will come again, in glory. Actually, I knew from certain hints he had made a year ago that he knew very well how the events in the near future would develop. Probably out of a great modesty or because he was cautious not to confuse my mind, he preferred not to mention anything else about this. Caesar paused and I felt that he was thinking about something in particular, carefully choosing his words. I'll soon tell you about some extraordinary events which are directly connected to what we discovered at the other end of the tunnel. You'll find them surprising, but also pleasing. You'll want to experience them as well, but this will depend upon you to the highest degree. You just need to have a little patience. I was all ears. I asked my question quickly in order not to lose the connection with the previous subject and thus hoping to get more information. What do you mean by a coming in glory TM and how will we see Jesus then? I asked. What you need to know is that the second coming of Jesus will be done through materialization in the physical world and therefore no birth will be necessary as was the case 2000 years ago. This time it will truly be a return in glory via materialization. And this coming will be done by means of a spiritual manifestation at the level of the entire planet, in divine glory. It will be the opposite of Jesus' TMS departure from this world. If the holy texts talk about the ascension, the second coming of Jesus will be a new apparition in the sky, in glory and then his descent, after which he will stay for a while on our planet. Be certain that, no matter how unreal the unfaithful think this is, it will be an epochal moment for the entire planet, but the time of the second coming is a mystery and not even Jesus knows it and only God the Father will decide this. In a way, it's like when we prepare to receive in our homes an extraordinary person whose presence we already know will create a strong emotion within us. This is why we need to be ready and purified with open souls and a sober mind so that we are capable of receiving the spiritual messages that the respective person will then transmit to us. I also asked myself many times what would be the best way to meet the second coming of Jesus. I said. Apart from the fact that, if we are still alive then, it will certainly be the greatest event of our existence. I think the real problem is how ready we will be for his return. Indeed. This is the most important issue because it targets mana TMS capacity to accomplish a great spiritual leap in evolution. If mankind continues to remain closed in their selfishness and if they are waiting to receive everything from God without making any effort and imagine that Jesus' TMS return will automatically trigger their salvation and turn them into gods, they are deeply wrong. Many think this way, but they have to realize copyright that, as the proverb says, God helps those who help themselves. At this point, I interrupted with an observation. From what I have seen, most people complain that they can hardly face their daily problems and troubles. How can they understand the need to make a spiritual effort in such conditions? A. Caesar explained to me that people actually incorrectly identify their priorities in life, and their efforts and energy are therefore also oriented in a wrong direction. Next headline, Life Problems and Mature Solutions. A.O. In the case of some people, their evolution in life would stop if they had no problems to resolve.